I'm Steve Vinson.
I'm Paul Schultz.
And this is the Don't Panic Radio Show. Sit back, relax, and ignore the news. Nothing you're about to hear is true.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
Tell you what, it's summertime, and it's amazing how, you know, when we were kids, summertime was the time where we didn't have anything to do.
Wait.
And it was a lot of sitting around, like, getting bored, hanging, you know, having our parents yell at us to go outside. So, like, if there was anything to do, like, that you wanted to get done, the summertime was the time to do it. Now, it seems like the summertime is when I don't have any time to do anything I want to do. I'm either driving to somewhere, driving from somewhere, I'm somewhere, or I'm taking my kids somewhere. It's insane. It's hard. It's, you know, during the school year, I feel busy, but it's a routine busy. So it's, so you and I can do our regular recording night, and it just like falls into a routine and everything's cool.
Yeah.
But I feel like now, like every time we talk, it's been like 2 weeks.
That's because it has been.
And a ton of stuff has happened. And a lot of it involves parents and in-laws and stuff like that. So how's your couple of weeks been?
You know, typically back in the day when I was heavy into drawing comics, I used to tell the people that I work with that during the summertime, you're not going to get much out of me, because the older my kids got, the more shit there was to do. So yeah, it's, you know, a lot. When I was a kid, I remember my, you know, we had to work, we had like, what, three big old gardens in the yard, and we had to take care of all that stuff. And so we were always busy, but there always seemed to be a lot of time to play too, because me and my little brother, we'd run out in the woods, you know, and do all kinds of stuff. But I remember thinking, you know, when I get older, you know, that's where you sit around and you grill with your neighbors, you know, and you watch the, you know, they watch the game while I, you know, watch the commercials. But no, it's the busy time of the year.
It's weird, isn't it? It doesn't seem like it should be. But so the last, okay, so starting, here's how my summer has been so far. And I think a lot of this is, I'm going to rehash a little bit. But right toward the end of the school year, my wife came up ill. And it was one of those illnesses that last for weeks, right? So she was laid up in bed for several, like a week and a half, okay?
You didn't give her one of those little bells, did you?
I did not. I don't need one.
That's because she's got her phone.
She's got her phone. She texts me. Says, get your ass in here. Give me some soup. You know, that kind of thing. Rub my feet. You know, so we did our best to take care of her. As kids were still in school, so I had to get them to school. I had to pick them up from school. I had to, you know, make them dinner and keep their clothes clean and all that stuff. And by keep their clothes clean and make them dinner, I mean make them do their laundry and make them cook dinner and clean up after dinner. That's the true. Kids learned a lot about cleaning and doing laundry and making food that week.
That's the best.
And going and seeing if their mom was okay.
That's the best.
So then we went to D.C., right? She was still a little bit sick. We get back from D.C. The day we get back from D.C., I decide to go cut some weeds in shorts, right? Which is sort of the recap show.
Yeah.
So I give myself the worst case of contact dermatitis known to man. And then we go to camp. Right out of the style guide for writing stories about camp, I have poison ivy at camp and have to do a bunch of things I don't really want to do. So that's camp. So we get back from camp And my family went to Northern Michigan. Now I think we're caught up, because last time we talked, they were in Northern Michigan and I was here by myself.
Yes.
Trying to stay alive.
Just you and your hamster.
That's right. Just me and my hamster. That's right. That's right. Now we're caught up. So then I went up to Michigan. I drove up there with my wife's aunt. So my aunt-in-law, which was good. We had a lot of nice. She's that aunt that you can talk to about how crazy your family is. Right. So we did a lot of that. And so we got up to Michigan, Northern Michigan, and it was nice, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We took a long bike ride, went to this fish hatchery. You ever been to a fish hatchery? You know, fish, their offspring are not born like our offspring.
Well, yeah.
They're fish lay eggs.
Yeah.
See? And then once they lay the egg,
mm-hmm.
it has to hatch. Now, when I think of hatch, I think of a bird pecking its way out of an egg, right?
Right.
I don't think of a fish. What does a fish do? Like suck its way out? How does a fish get out of the egg? I don't know. It's in the water, so maybe it just kind of dissolves. I have to look that up.
Does a flying fish build a nest to lay its eggs in?
Probably. Up in a fish tree. So we went to this fish hatchery, and one of the neat things about it was, and this is where I learned why some guys are better at fishing than others.
Wasn't that a Morrissey song?
Some guys are better at catching than others. Like that old joke about the two guys sitting on the bank fishing. One guy's like, been here all day, haven't caught anything. It's like, that's why they call it fishing and not catching. So,
hey, that comes in handy now.
So they built this. Like if you've been to the zoo or an aquarium where they've got this glass thing, and you can, like, a lot of times you can see the walrus or the seal on the mm-hmm. other side of the glass. Well, they built one of those in the side of this creek. So you can see under the creek, and it kind of goes along the creek bed, and then there's like this deep pool where it kind of drops off into this pool. Mm-hmm. And there's some fish in there, and it's like some trout. And then they got a little sign there telling you how to tell a brook trout from a rainbow trout from a brown trout. And then it tells you, like, and you can see these trout in there. You're like, oh, that's rainbow right there. I know that because it looks like this picture right over here.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see some of them are like right where the water drops into the pool, and others are like over here where it's a little more calm, and others are like near the surface. And you're like, before you even get a chance to wonder why some of the fish are in different places, you read on the little sign, it says, well, these fish are over here because there's more oxygen there. So there'll be more fish there. And then over here, they're tired, so they'll go over here and rest for a minute and then go back over into where the oxygen is,
mm-hmm.
right? So I started thinking, people that fish a lot already knew that. That's why they know where to put their hook, right? They're like, that's where the fish will be. Look, Iris being eaten.
You know, I once watched a documentary on salmon farms, and they show this one guy picks up this big old salmon and like proceeds to make it, you know, shoot its load. And
what?
They stick their finger in a certain area on the fish, and the fish just goes. And
so he's salmon baiting.
It's impressive. I couldn't masturbate for months. I felt just totally beaten by a fish.
Go away, bait.
That's right. But it was very, you know. Very eye-opening.
Man, it must not have been like a Christian channel, because Christians don't believe in
their fish don't masturbate.
That's right. Well, technically, the fish got a hand job.
That's true.
I think the only animals that masturbate are humans and monkeys. You could look that up.
Dogs would if they could.
So then, so we have ourselves a good time up in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And we get back in the car to come home. And we had just been talking. I got to start talking more about being like super wealthy, because it seems like whenever I talk about something, it ends up happening. So I remember I was talking to my wife about, like, you remember when we were kids? I kind of thought when I became a grown up, maybe I was talking to you about this. I forget. Anyway,
I can see how you'd get the two of us mixed up.
It's like, I kind of thought there'd be a lot more working on cars, you know, because it, like, working on a car was just something a man had to know how to do, because cars would break down at least once a week.
Yeah.
Right. So you had to know, like, what thing to jiggle under the hood, or like adjust, or pour something into something. You know, you were always, it feels like my dad was always tying a string to something, or sticking a rag somewhere, or, you know, turning something.
I think that's just where we grew up.
Okay. But I would be in trouble if it was still that way, because I don't know. You know, I never really knew what he was doing under there. I just was like, I could just find something to jiggle.
Pump the brakes.
Like, there was one thing, like, if it didn't start, he'd get up under there with like a wrench or a hammer or something and peck on something. Be like, then the car would start. I'm like, I don't know what he's pecking on. So I just kind of, like, my car didn't start. I just kind of
tapping on things. You know? My dad did this.
Yeah. It seemed to work. So anyway, I was just talking to somebody about that. And I was like, isn't it great? We don't have to worry about that anymore. So we're driving home, and I got this cargo carrier on the roof. Mm-hmm. Only it's not one of those big plastic things. It's a bag, right? So you tie this bag under the roof, and you put some of your stuff up there in case you got too much stuff you're trying to carry. So I put that up there, and so we're driving, and the air conditioner's, like, starting to not be all that cool, right? I'm like, what is going on with the air conditioner? So I look down, and this little dial that nobody ever pays attention to, because it's always in the same spot, the one with the H on one side and the C on the other, is getting really close to the H, right? I'm like, that's not good. That's not good. So I pull over, and I open the hood, take me a little screwdriver, and I start banging on things. Like, tap, tap, tap. I don't know. Kids, go in the rest area. So we're at this rest area. I got the hood up. I got the engine running. I'm checking different things. I'm like, I'll just look at stuff. And it's hot under here. And it was a hot day. It was like 95 degrees. Check the water. Poured some water. I got one of our water bottles. I'm pouring water in. I'm going to the drinking fountain, filling it up, pouring water into the thing. Like, I go in, and there are the kids sitting on the floor of the rest area. My daughter goes, we look like hobos. I was like, yes, it's true, you do. And my mom goes, well, kids, this is what road trips used to be like. That's right. So I take the thing off of the roof, because I figure it's creating drag and the car can't take it. Mm-hmm. Right. So here we are. Just to make it even more like the road trips we remember, all my shit's out in the parking lot of a rest area, and we're trying to shove it all back into the car. Kids are arguing with each other. I'm yelling at them for arguing with each other. Everybody's getting testy, and we're all sweaty, and it's hot. It's
fucking Griswolds.
Yeah. I wanted to tell him we couldn't use the air conditioner. We had to roll the windows down, but I didn't. That would have made it. And then if I'd started smoking cigarettes, it would have completed the illusion.
Put your aunt on the roof, you know?
Yeah. Our dead aunt. A lot of things in my life go like this. So get back in, we get everything off the roof. We're going. It's okay for a little while. Then it starts to heat up again. I'm like, well, for crying out loud. So, but there's this little overdrive button, because I'm sitting there thinking, I don't know. The only thing I can think of now is the RPMs seem a little too high. Maybe there's something going on with the overdrive. Maybe I'm in overdrive and don't realize it. I don't know what overdrive is. I don't know what it does. I don't know. Why do we even have it? I don't know why we have overdrive.
I know semi-trucks always use it, you know, in the movies. They always hit the overdrive in the movies.
It's just dry. I mean, who needs overdrive? What's that for?
It sounds exhausting.
So I hit that button, and when I hit the button, the RPMs shoot way up. Mm. So it's like shifting down, right? Basically, I was turning the overdrive off, which is like shifting down. And then I immediately hit it again. The RPMs go back. And never had another problem rest of the trip. So the best I can figure is it was stuck in some lower gear, right? Causing it to overheat.
Yeah.
That's the best I can figure because I couldn't. In life, I rarely go, oh, there's the problem. And then I adjust whatever that thing is. And then everything's fixed, right? And I go, oh, yeah, I found the problem. I've corrected it. And now it's corrected. No, I just do something a little different. And suddenly everything works.
Right.
I'm like... That sucks. I'd rather have it not working still until I figured out what it was.
You know what that reminds me of? Do you remember all those years ago when we took a road trip up to the house on the rock? And yes. you're driving yes. along, and you can't figure out why the lights of the dashboard aren't lit up. That there's something wrong. So you'd pull over into a gas station, and you're like, now they're on. And then you drive a little more. They're off. Pull in, they're on. And it was like, wait, after about the third or fourth time, you're like, wait a minute. The sun was making it so bright that they weren't lit up. But when you pull into the gas station, you were under the awning and you could see the lights. Problem solved.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Problem solved.
That was, I kept thinking, man, we're going to break down in Wisconsin. And I guess this is where we're going to live now. But look.
We're going to be eating cheese and sausage.
That's what happened when...
Drinking old style.
When me and Guy and John Leslie went out, we were coming back from Vegas back in the 90s, and the car... We were driving a car from the 60s, and it broke down in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the night, and we're sitting in this abandoned gas station, and I looked around going, well, I guess this is where I live now. So, I resign myself to my fate rather easily.
You find one of those guys. Yeah, we can fix it. Got to order a part.
What's that?
Part be here in 3 weeks.
Plays a geographical oddity.
How much? How much you got?
Yeah, how much?
So we made it back. I don't know. It was a little later than we wanted, but it wasn't too bad. It was maybe 9:30 or 10. It was dark out.
Mm-hmm.
And all we could think about was let's get in the house, go sleep in our own bed tonight, watch, get caught up on Handmaid's Tale, you know, and, you know, maybe drink a few beers, get relaxed, you know, get all unwound. You know what I mean? Get unwound,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Get settled back in. It's Saturday night. Got all day Sunday to relax.
There's no place like home.
Get caught back up. There's no place. I don't care where you go on vacation. You could go to the nicest hotel in the world on vacation. You get back home, you could live in a trailer, and you'd be like, ah, home, right? So that's how I was feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Only the garage door wasn't open. I'm like, come on. Garage door? Did the battery die in the garage door opener over the past week? And then I'm just hitting it, and I'm like, wait a minute. I know I left the porch light on.
Unbeknownst to you, took the batteries out of the garage door remote to lighten the load and the carry-all.
Right. Yeah, I took them out of the remote and I put them in the glove box. I was like, that'll do it. No, I was like, I know I left the porch light on and it's not on. I think the power's out. And the kids start going, yay, the power's out. Oh, this will be fun. Oh, man. I'm like, on what planet is this fun? You know, I don't get it. So yeah, our power was out and it was hot. It was like 90 degrees outside. It was probably 100 in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Except we got this nice big, like finished basement area.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really a basement. It's like a walkout basement, I guess you could call it. But most of it's under grade here. So it was a little bit cooler. Instead of being 100, it was more like 88. So that was nice. Turns out, if you forget to pay your bill, the power company will turn your electricity off.
Those bastards.
I know.
Who started that business practice? That's just crazy.
There was a time if you didn't pay your phone bill, they would turn your phone off. Mm-hmm. You know when that ended?
Hmm.
When other phone companies started to crop up and have the ability to sell you telephone service. Because they know at some point you're either going to pay your bill or, yeah, you know, they'll stop your service. But it's usually going to be quite a few cycles, and they're going to call you quite a few times and give you quite a few chances, right? Because they'll be like, well, we know you probably forgot, but here you go. Let's get your phone, phone bill taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't turn it off because they're like, if we turn them off, they're going to go to one of the other companies and never come back, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
The electric company, if they were smart, and I don't give them enough credit to actually have this meeting, but if they did have that level of intelligence, they would go, well, there's not another electric company, so if we cut them off, there's nothing they can do. So, well, yeah. Let's charge them to turn it off and then charge them to turn it back on,
mm-hmm.
and they will pay their bill, because what else are they going to do?
Yeah.
It's 100 degrees outside. They need their air conditioning. They need light. So we pretty much got them by the short hairs. They don't have that meeting, though, because they're not smart. So what they do is go, well, they didn't pay their bill, and our policy says to turn it off if they don't pay their bill. Yeah, but why do you do that? Well, because the policy says to do that. So we family trip to Walmart. It was nice and cool in Walmart. And we bought some batteries and some flashlights, some ice.
Oh, mighty ice.
And had a little family camp out. And the kids were the positive attitude the whole time,
mm-hmm.
which was awesome. I was grumpy. I wanted to be grumpy, but I couldn't be grumpy because the kids were just like, isn't this fun? Here we are in the basement with these flashlights. This is great.
You know, there's something about that, though. You know? They can turn something as insane as a power outage or forgetting to pay your bill into an adventure. And here we are, like,
yeah.
Pissed off about it and grumping through it. And it's like, I don't know, there's just something cool about that.
It's the number one reason to have kids. In my opinion, one of the number one reasons to have kids is they remind you that what life is supposed to be like. You know?
I think you're right there with part of that, yeah.
Our job is to kill as little of that as possible.
Yes.
Some of it we can't help but just kill that attitude, right? You're not supposed to enjoy this part.
Yeah.
You know? But if we could keep from killing some of it, then they'll have a nice life, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we got our power back on Monday. Because, the guys that turn the power back on don't work on Sundays.
Every week or every other week, you ask me, so how was your week? I could be like, well, I did brain surgery on the cat, and now the cat thinks it's a penguin. It's pretty cool. But no matter what I did, can't top whatever the hell you do.
Did you do brain? You didn't do brain surgery.
No.
Because if you did, man, that's
not as serious. Of yet. No.
There was a good Seth Godin podcast episode, mm-hmm. and he talked about something we've talked about a lot. Well, first of all, he said, "I'm going to teach you how to juggle." He said, but first I have to teach you how to ride a bike. And so basically the riding the bike part was, he said, you don't teach somebody how to ride a bike. He said, the way we all learned to ride a bike was just wrong. He said, training wheels are a terrible idea because the easiest part about riding a bike is pedaling and steering. And when you put on training wheels, that's what you're learning to do, basically.
Yeah.
The hardest part of learning to ride a bike is balancing. And you're not learning that with training wheels. So somebody invented something called the glide bike, which is basically you sit on it. It's got no pedals. You just kind of walk and push yourself. You can reach the ground. And eventually, you start pushing yourself and lifting your feet up and balancing. And now you got the balancing thing down. Now you're ready to ride a bike, right? So you teach yourself, basically. Juggling, he said, same sort of thing. He's like, everybody concentrates on not dropping the ball. He's like, No, don't concentrate on that. Concentrate on throwing the ball to your other hand and yeah. learn to throw it so it hits your hand. And if you have to reach for it, don't. Just let it fall, right? And just keep doing that until you can throw it every time and it hits your hand so that you don't have to go lunging for it. Because the trick to juggling isn't catching the ball. It's throwing it so you don't have to think about catching it.
Right.
And so he was relating that to, he said, writing a novel. How do you become a successful novelist? He said, well, the traditional thinking is you write a really good novel and you get an editor and a publisher to publish it. And then you go on, signing tours, and now then you write another one, right? But he's like, that's not really, you can't really teach somebody how to do that, but you can tell somebody to write.
Mm-hmm.
And to just keep writing, write bad stuff. And eventually, and he said, get good at telling stories.
Yeah.
Get good at getting in front of some people and just telling a story. Not reading a story that you wrote, but just telling a story. So since I heard that today, I decided, first, I didn't have time to write a softcore history. But second, I said, no matter what I talk about, I'm going to tell a story. And it's not just going to be, well, yeah, our power went out. And the car sort of overheated on the way home. I'm going to figure out how it can be a story.
Well,
and that's what I did today.
You've been doing that since day one on this show. I don't know whether you realize it or not.
No.
Most of your stories are a three-act play.
Character wants something.
That's right.
Character has obstacles in the way of getting thing.
Yep.
I put my outline for a story. I put my outline for my next story on my blog one day, about 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I said, there'll be this guy, and he's going to want something. And then shit's going to get in the way of him getting the things he wants. He's going to fail and give up. And then he's going to get motivated to try again. And he's going to overcome those obstacles, and he's going to get the thing he wanted. The end.
It'll be a bestseller. Speaking of writing, while you were stranded along the side of the road and dealing with your impromptu camp out in the basement.
Having the kids look like hobos.
Yeah, having your kids look like hobos. I spent that time hammering out the story for our Halloween episode.
Sweet. Tell me about it.
What I love about writing is you might... Writing's like life. You might think you're in control of it, but you are absolutely not in control of your life. You are in control of maybe 10% of your life. Like that's like when you go to the bathroom and maybe when you eat. I think that's
the least important parts.
Yes. Well, I had this idea plotted out for the story for the Halloween episode, and I started writing these characters. I had a basic idea of how I wanted these characters to be, what I wanted them to do. And about halfway through Act One, I wrote like one sentence, and it completely took this total different direction that I was not planning on having it take. It went from like I messaged you. I said it turned out it went from being just a scary story to like a Jim Thompson novel. And if, mm-hmm. for anybody who doesn't know what a Jim Thompson novel is, he wrote a lot of like sleazy pulp detective books back in the 50s. And then I had to go back and I had to rewrite the stuff that didn't match up with it. So I just writing in a circle till I finally polished up Act One to what I think is going to be a really good show. It's just funny to me how it just takes on a life of its own. And what I've noticed with me is I cannot wrap my head around a character until I have a name for them. Once I have a name for said character, the name somehow defines the character. And as soon as I came up with a name for the female lead in the story, the whole thing just kind of went in a different direction.
What's her name?
I can't tell you.
Oh.
Until she's mine.
What's her name?
I can't introduced as nothing but friends. And there's a certain girl I've been in love with a long, long time.
What's her name?
I can't tell you. There's a certain chick I've been sweet on since I met her.
What's her name?
I can't tell you. I can't reveal her name until I get her.
What's her name?
I can't tell you. Someday I'm gonna wake up and say,
yeah,
I'll do anything just to be your slave. And there's a certain girl I've been in love with a long, long time.
What's her name?
I can't tell you.
Atticus and I went over to my parents this last couple of days, you know, while you were sweltering in the heat and broke down along the side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
And on the way, so we had, on the way to their house, you know, with my mom, my dad, the boy, and myself. And my mom decides she wants to get Burger King because she doesn't feel like cooking. So we pull up to the drive-thru. And this young girl, like, you know, leans out the window. And my dad notices, because my dad notices, you know, her name tag. And they're talking about how, as they're going from window A to window B, they're talking about, like, how, what a pretty name, you know, this girl had. And window B opens up, and it's the girl. She had, like, run around to the other one. Apparently, they were shorthanded. And my mom's like, You have a lovely name and a lovely face to go along with it. And we're driving away, and I'm like, what if that would have been like the opposite case? Like, nobody goes like, you have such a lovely name, but God, you're ugly. Your parents should have named you Stump, you know?
Here's what that sounds like. What a lovely name you have.
Yeah. Yes. You have a great name for radio.
What a lovely name you have. And such a lovely person you are to go with a lovely name. You can be a lovely person and be butt ugly.
But when you're 80, you just say shit's in your head.
That's true. That's true. What a lovely name you have. What happened to your face? You know, if you just moisturize and take care of yourself, you wouldn't look like Grandpa from the Munsters.
She opens the door and just throw up.
Damn.
Your face looks like a chunk of pink asphalt. What the
Flies don't even land on shit that looks like your face.
Then now suddenly we're Sanford and Son.
Yeah. You could stick your face in some dough and make some gorilla cookies.
Your face is so ugly that Domino's is going to come fill it in.
I don't even get that.
Domino's has this thing going, which is why I don't eat pizza very often, but it's the only pizza I'm ordering now because Domino's has this contest where you can like submit roads in your neighborhood, and if you they pull your name out of the hat, they will come fill the potholes in your roads
with pizza.
So that's that would be crazy. No asphalt, I assume.
But why is like, Domino's? Yeah, that doesn't even
they get my business now.
What's wrong with Domino's?
Because they're
doesn't even make any sense.
I assume they're tired of their employees getting their their tires knocked off in these potholes. Michigan, that's the only way they're gonna fix Michigan. So even if you don't live in Michigan, find a street in Michigan and call Domino's.
Your face looks like 3 miles of road in Michigan.
That's right.
Change the channel, Marge.
I got two movie reviews for you. First one is Love, Simon.
That's finally out on like DVD or whatever. You can rent that now?
Yeah. It came out on Amazon Prime where you can rent
okay.
it. Okay. Have you seen it?
No, it's on my list though.
Okay. I can save you the trouble. But I would say wait until it's free.
Okay.
Because.
Wait until it's on Hulu.
It's okay. Right? Yeah, until it's on Hulu. It is okay. So the reason it wasn't in theaters for very long mm-hmm. is it's an okay movie. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody was brilliant and had it hyped up among the LGBTQ. And by the way, I saw like three more initials somewhere. I got to find out what those, I don't know what they are, but they just keep adding initials. I got to talk to the marketing people over at in the gay community because they're just taking it. They're putting too many letters. Pretty soon you won't be able to remember all the letters.
Just call it the alphabet community.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, it was a brilliant piece of hype because the subject matter, I don't know if you saw this one. I don't know if your kids are, well, one of your kids is young enough and a girl. Mm-hmm. But there was this movie, I think it's called A Cinderella Story, but it's like a modern day version of it. Like this girl's dad dies. It's, I don't know, it's set in the recent past, maybe like the present time. Her dad had owned a, and that woman that played Irene from Pootie Tang was the evil stepmom. Mm. This was a bad bitch. And so
you can't beat a hoe with a belt. They like that shit.
So she was the stepmom. But anyway, this girl likes this guy, but like they meet online, right? But it's a guy from her school. And he talks about how he can't be himself, and because he's popular and he has to act a certain way or whatever, and he just can't be himself. And he really likes this girl that he meets online, but he doesn't know who she is. So they set up a time while the school dance, and we'll meet, at the school dance, and we'll figure out who each other are and all that stuff, right? And I'm like, the kids liked it. It was okay. It's like an after-school special movie, right?
Mm.
Love, Simon is that movie, but with two dudes instead of a dude and a chick. Online, it's a good concept. Like this dude comes out online, but he doesn't say who he is, and but he says what high school he goes to. So it's the buzz of the high school. Who is this kid, right? So then Simon, starts answering him, but anonymously. So like now they're anonymously emailing each other, and talking about how they're both gay and wish they could come out, but they don't know how their parents would take it. They don't know, whatever. They don't know how the school would take it, and all this stuff. So some kid outs, and this by the way happened in the Cinderella movie that I'm talking about. Somebody who had had it out for Simon, like, outs him to the school, right? And in an embarrassing way. Exactly like the Wicked Stepsisters outed the Cinderella girl in the Cinderella thing. It blows my mind that they can get away with this. But same script, different genders. But anyway, some kid outs him, and then, he comes out to his parents, right? The opportunity they had was for the dad to take it hard, maybe even like like tell the kid, oh, my son can't be gay, and then have him go through some sort of life discovery experience and like figure out that no, it really is okay, and all these preconceived notions he had are, you know, unfounded and everything. But the dad's like, oh, okay, I'm proud of you, son. And the mom's like, oh, this is great, you know, we're, you know, I just want you to be happy and all this stuff. And I'm just looking at it going, what? So anyway, it was okay. It was like an after school special with LGBTQ themes.
I saw a pretty good movie while you were wasting your time watching Love, Simon.
Yeah, what'd you see?
I Kill Giants. If your girls would love it. Mm. It's, I think I watched it on Netflix. It's essentially, it's a contemporary fantasy in which a girl is dealing with loss. And it apparently was based on a comic book. I did not know it was based on a comic book. I found that out after I watched the movie. Hmm. But it was, you know, this young girl, there's a tragedy in her family, and she's trying to cope with it. And in the meantime, there's all this fantastic, phantasmagoric stuff going on around her, along with the typical douchebaggery that happens in high school by, you know, the alpha crowd.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a relatively new movie. Well, it came out last year, I think, so I don't want to ruin it for you. But it's worth seeing.
Bring me some douchebaggery.
You know what that Cinderella Cinderella story in Love, Simon reminded me of? You were talking about, like, the same scripts. Remember how we talked about how, like, in Hollywood, they'll say, like, when they're pitching a movie, they'll go, it's like Jaws meets Sophie's Choice.
You know? It's like Jaws in the desert.
Yeah. So here's this guy pitching Love, Simon. He's like, it's like that show Glee meets that movie you're making over there in Lot C.
Yeah,
that's not exactly done yet.
Glee.
I happened to be walking by the studio, and I looked in, and I saw what was going on. So I'm going to run with that.
I can't believe. So it always amazes me when I see that. Like Avatar, right?
Mm-hmm.
First time I saw Fern Gully, I thought, oh, man, Fern Gully just ripped off Avatar. Because it's the exact same story. Then I find out Fern Gully was made in the 90s.
Yeah, the early 90s, in fact.
Yeah. Everybody made hay over, like, oh, here's how Avatar is like Pocahontas. And I'm like, you don't even have to go to Pocahontas. There is a story where a company is wanting to mine natural resources from, you know, a primitive area. Yeah. And there's a magical tree that saves the day. There's the guy that goes in and takes on the form of the little people that live in the forest, and like every single thing. Oh, I'll bet you, I haven't done this, I'm sure somebody has, I'll bet there's dialogue that almost matches word for word.
That's because it's James Cameron. He doesn't have an original bone in his whole body. Every movie he's made has been somebody else's movie.
I mean, it's not like he saw Fern Gully 25 years ago and forgot about it, and it kind of, the concept sort of stuck in his head. And so when he's doing Avatar, like, he was influenced by it, but kind of forgot. No, it's like he had the script sitting there next to him. He's like, okay, what should happen next? Oh, there's got to be a magical tree. Okay, we'll have a magical tree then, you know.
He didn't even, like, cross out tree and write shrub, you know.
You know what one of the most original movies I've seen in a long time is? Black Panther. The kids loved it. We all loved it. It's not your typical superhero movie.
No, it is not.
And if you miss, it's a movie where if you miss the first 5 minutes, you're going to be confused. Usually with movies, the first 5 minutes, nothing really important happens, right?
Well,
if you don't see the first 5 minutes, you don't know about that meteor.
Right.
With all that vibranium.
Right.
Thank God they didn't call it unobtainium.
I recently watched a video where a kid, I think he was like high school level, did a report on Wakanda, and somebody was filming it in the classroom, and the teacher had no idea that Wakanda wasn't a real place. And she was just asking him all kinds of questions, and he was, and the class, you can see the kids are just like trying not to laugh because they're like, you know, this she must be one of these like sports girls who never sees like a superhero movie ever and had no idea that this was even a thing. It was so funny.
You know what? She was busy grading papers at night.
Oh, yeah.
And going over to the Walmart to buy supplies out of her own pocket. Right? This teacher is a hero.
Support the teachers.
Support the teachers, man. Hashtag. So, you know, one of the things, there are several things I loved about this movie. One is just the whole concept of there being this country that is able to keep super advanced technology a secret.
Mm-hmm.
When we got all these satellites and infrared, mm-hmm. this is and that's is. We got the CIA, you know, who knows there's something called vibranium, but has no idea that there's this super advanced city with skyscrapers and flying cars and all that stuff.
And they managed to keep their autonomy all these years as opposed to not being colonized.
They keep their secret, right?
Mm-hmm.
I also love the beginning where the, you know, the kids playing basketball and everything and how they brought it back to that scene
mm-hmm.
later on.
Mm-hmm.
Like who that one kid was, the Weeknd. How the Weeknd was like a kid in the beginning with normal hair.
Yeah.
And then when he grew up, he got the Weeknd hair. And then he went back and took over Wakanda. I was like, damn, the Weeknd took over Wakanda. And my kids and my wife are like, what are you talking about? I was like, you know, the Weeknd, the guy with the hair. And my kids are like, oh, that guy. Yeah, he does kind of look like him. But it's spelled W-E-E-K-N-D.
Right.
I misspelled it when I messaged that to you.
That's okay.
I thought it didn't have any vowels in it, but it does.
That's why I thought, when you sent that to me, I'm like, are you drunk booking? Because I'm like, normally Steve doesn't misspell words. What the hell happened?
Oh. Like, and then the very, very end after the credits,
mm-hmm.
I knew who that was because I had just watched the Winter Soldier.
Mm. Well, there you go.
And I was like, oh, I was like, I know who that guy is. That's Bucky.
That's right. You're making progress.
Cassius is like, who's Bucky? And I'm like, I really don't know, but he was in that other movie.
There's a really good video, movie review of Black Panther. And I may have sent it to you, but for anyone that wants to watch it, you can go on YouTube. It's called Black Panther is Black as Fuck. And it explains just how important this movie is to the black community. It's worth checking out. I can't even do this girl's video justice. It's worth watching.
More important than Straight Outta Compton.
I'm going to say yes to that.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. More movies could take a page out of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever script. And I'm sure James Cameron will. But yes.
Suddenly those blue people are going to be brown people.
Yeah. You know, they were going to release, I heard they were going to release Avatar 2 this year, but then James Cameron saw this movie and he said, oh, we got to totally remake Avatar 2. And what's going to be is the Na'vi on Pandora use the unobtainium to have advanced technology. And but they're going to hide their advanced technology. And they're going to have flying cars and skyscrapers.
He's such a hack, dude.
So here's the thing. Mm-hmm. So the Weeknd comes back, right? And he's like, everybody like assumes he's evil.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at what he wanted to do, he's basically saying, we have this technology. The world's shit, right? Mm-hmm. We could be using this technology to make the world a more just place.
Mm-hmm.
The way he's going to do it is using violence and taking over the world's governments, okay? And at the same time, it's going to become a more just place, right? But everybody assumes he's evil.
Yeah.
Then at the end of the movie, real Black Panther decides to like use the technology to try to help the world, right? Who do you think would have been more successful? I mean,
mm-hmm.
I don't know because I can't fast forward 20 years and see how real Black Panther does. But I'm pretty sure the Weeknd would have been able to take over the world. I don't know how just the world would have been. I don't know if he would have been a tyrant. I have no idea. But the world loves a king, right? Everybody loves a king. there was no democratic process to pick the king of the Black Panther people, right? The king of Wakanda, it wasn't like they had an electoral college and had some elections, right? It was hereditary, and just whoever the strongest leader of the tribes just became the king. So then the Weeknd comes along, decides he's going to be the king and take over the world by force. Well, how's that any different? So it wasn't cut and dry.
No, right? That's the beauty of it. There's so much about this movie that is a reason why it made like $1 billion. Mm-hmm. And it's not just because it was a great action movie, which it was. If you didn't even pay, if you didn't even pay attention to the nuances like that, it's a really good movie.
Anytime you have armored rhinoceroses taking part in a battle, you know you got good action.
That's right.
Why does a rhinoceros need armor?
I don't know. Why does a rhinoceros need armor?
I wonder if... I'll bet that was vibranium armor. I was going to say, it looked awfully thin. And I mean, a rhino is already pretty thick-skinned.
Mm-hmm. A rhino has to be thick-skinned. Just look at them.
Yeah, it's true. They are ugly. So yeah, good movie. Liked it.
Yeah.
I like the little funny parts. Mm-hmm. Like the guy, you're not allowed to talk. If you do, I'll feed you to my kids. Just kidding. We're vegetarians. And I thought, they must eat a lot of beans. How can you be that built, you know, if you're vegetarian?
Yeah, well, beans are pure protein, man. So I'm thinking that's what they got to do.
So yeah, I want to see Black Panther 2 now. I want to see a Black Panther set only in Wakanda. I just want to see how Wakanda is. That's a cool place. Of course, one of my kids is like, "Wow, this is like Wonder Woman." Like, yep,
yeah,
it is like Wonder Woman.
Yep.
Yeah.
But you know, leave it to making a movie where the main character is a woman and making a movie where the main character is a black man. Suddenly, they're not cut and dried plot movies. Now, why is that?
Yeah.
Why is the plot not so cut and dried in those movies? But in all the rest of the superhero movies, you know, bad guy, good guy, bad guy wins, or bad guy loses, good guy wins.
It's a good question. I don't know, but I just thought of this, so I'll say it. Maybe part of it could be, there are people writing stories now who go, look, we're not just going to do a one-dimensional. You know, Black Panther can't be a blaxploitation movie. So it can't be one-dimensional. Mm-hmm. It's an important movie for the black community. So it can't be just, you know, cut and dry, good guy, bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be like Superman where all the good guys are black and the bad guys are white. Can't do it that way, right? Which I thought they were headed that direction.
Yeah.
I was like, really? We're just going to have all the bad guys be white. Huh? But no, they didn't do that. And same with Wonder Woman. Maybe they said, hey, this is an important movie for women. And, you know, we got to take some care with the story and make sure it's nuanced. And by the way, that CIA guy, is he an important character in the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
He is now, is he just
some guy?
No, he is now. He came in.
Okay.
He came in a couple of movies ago, and has kind of built up a bit of a fan following. I think he started out in, I want to say, Winter Soldier.
Oh
yeah,
I don't remember him.
Yeah.
Does he have some power? Like, does he get a suit or something? Is he like the Cuba Gooding Jr.?
No, he's just the guy.
Or who's that guy in Captain America? The guy with the wings?
A Falcon.
The Falcon?
Yeah.
Now, like him?
Falcon, the actor that plays Falcon wants to do a Falcon blaxploitation movie. So bad. And I'm like, I would be there opening day. I would love to see that.
Yeah. So the Falcon, he was also in Civil War, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he has a better suit.
Yes.
He's got that extra, like, drone that flies.
Yeah, separately. Red Wing, yeah.
Same guy, right?
Yep.
Because in Winter Soldier, he just looked like some guy that had a suit.
Yeah. Like, yeah, he gets a better suit in his second appearance.
So, that's what happens when my family goes away. I try to get caught up on some of these I watched a little bit of Thor Ragnarok.
Eh.
But I fell asleep.
I'm not a fan. I honestly... I caught so much flack for that from a lot of my friends because we all went and saw it. At the time, I enjoyed it because it was just a fun movie. And,
yeah.
And I watched it recently, and I'm just like, this movie is a tragedy, and they cover it, they smother it with humor too much. And it's like they could take the first 10 minutes of Thor Ragnarok and the final battle in Thor Ragnarok and make it a half-hour special. Just be done with it.
Oh, yeah. The first 10 minutes, he's like fighting that demon,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right after Immigrant Song ends, that's when the movie could end.
All right. This has been the 8 movies in 8 minutes segment.
This has been the
Don't Panic radio show.
This has been the We Need to Start Doing This on a Weekly Basis episode.
Yeah. No kidding. It's been good talking to you again, my friend.
Same here.
And to all of our friends out there in podcast landia, it's been good talking to you as well.
Cacao!
But we're going to wrap it up for now. So thanks again for listening. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for your comments. We enjoy hearing from you. And don't forget to hashtag put it on the page.
That's right. Our most successful campaign to the date.
It's true. For Paul Schultz, I'm Steve Vinson, and nothing you and just nothing heard,
you just heard,
true. You just heard, true. You just heard. That's what we keep inside. That's what we keep inside.
Just information. That's what we keep inside our heads.